friends and family. I get to see it. I'm a first-hand witness, completely blown away every day by the explosion of this platform. But the glory does not belong to Stu Peters. This is God's platform, and all glory be to God Almighty. Vindication does not always feel good, but I hope you remember when they told us that these little ones was a conspiracy theory.
Why is Tony Fauci still running around free instead of hanging by the end of a noose somewhere?
I have to fight for these kids. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. It is August 15th, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. We have warned you for months on this show about the real nature of CPS. It's not child protective services. It's child predatory services, a hive of drugs and abuse and for-profit child trafficking. There's been proof for ages. But now even the mainstream press is starting to catch on. Out of Houston, Texas, we have video of a Harris County CPS worker directly telling a 14-year-old girl that she should prostitute herself to support herself. Look.
An employee with Child Protective Services is caught on camera telling a 14-year-old girl in foster care to become a prostitute.
Yeah, Jonathan. Now, earlier this year, a federal judge scorned Child Protective Services for making kids available for prostitution in the CPS system. Now we have a case where an employee with that state agency is actually encouraging prostitution of a 14-year-old child.
My daughter told me that the worker had been telling her that she should do these things, so she decided to video her.
Can you get somebody, please?
CPS is housing the girl at a hotel. She's one of dozens in Harris County. In the video, she tells the CPS employee she wants food. The CPS worker tells her to be a prostitute.
I mean, she was basically encouraging a 14-year-old girl to become a prostitute.
And giving her an incentive to do so, and almost a threat of not having her needs being met if she didn't do what this woman very explicitly told her to do.
Jamie Masters, the commissioner of CPS, came to Houston to personally apologize to Basley and her daughter.
I've never seen that happen before, where a commissioner of CPS comes in from Austin just to apologize about something that's horrible that's been done to a child and a parent involved with CPS.
I do not believe that that was genuine. I really don't.
It's bad enough if it's one rogue caseworker. It concerns me that it may be bigger than that, and they need to investigate this and make sure that it's not just one person, and they've got to figure out a way to protect these kids.
CPS sent us the following prepared statement. DFPS is aware of the video and has taken action. The person in the video, who was employed as CPS support staff, was dismissed from her position August 10th. The safety and appropriateness with which children in care must be treated is our paramount concern. Nothing less will be tolerated.
Nothing less will be tolerated. You feel better now? The Texas media wants us to think that this is just some wild outlier. But let's be serious. This didn't just happen out of the blue. A CPS worker who's this blatant in their behavior has said something like this before. They simply just haven't been recorded. Most of the people that CPS handles lack agency. They're poor, or they're young, or they're frightened, or all three. And so they're easily controlled. So this isn't a one-off. This specific CPS worker has almost certainly acted like this before, and Texas CPS has other workers who act this way too, period. And our show is exposing how true this is every day. Today we want to revisit one of the absolute worst CPS cases that we've encountered. Kara Witkowski is a friend of this program, and her story is close to our hearts. We've had Kara on several times to discuss her story, how CPS enabled abuse by her ex-husband, Tom, which culminated in the death of her 2-year-old son, James. The death. James's death was ruled an accident, even though an independent autopsy commissioned by Kara indicated that James had suffered trauma to his spine, and even though there were signs of ongoing abuse before his death. Losing a child is unthinkably horrifying for anyone. But for Kara, the nightmare still isn't over. Despite James's death, Tom still has access to Kara's 6-year-old daughter, Sasha. Even before James died, Kara says that Sasha was showing signs of abuse. Sasha herself has reportedly expressed fear of Tom to her therapist, to the cops, to Kara. But Kara says that state-mandated forensic tests have shown signs of sexual abuse, and all of that has been ignored. Sasha, aged only 6 years old, knows how to choke herself. And Kara believes that she must have learned this behavior from her father. This is horrifying, but Kara provided this video to our program, and we want you to see it. Look.
Daddy has done to me. He touched me in my private area. Daddy touched me in my butt. Daddy hit me on my arm. Daddy hit me on my leg. And he also slapped my butt. And he also hit. He also did this. He also did this.
Unbelievable. So, despite physical and testimonial evidence, and despite the death of James, the court system is still not letting Kara protect her children. The courts actually cut Kara's 3-year restraining order against Tom down to 1 year. Kara has completed every course, every test, every interview, every payment, everything required of her. She says that Tom has never had to do any tests. He hasn't completed any courses. He hasn't paid for anything. Every step of the way, the process has been against Kara and against Sasha. Every step of the way contributed to James's death. And every step of the way, the court's process has been in favor of this alleged rapist. And soon it could cost the life of a second child. It all sounds too crazy to be true. But as we saw with the story out of Houston and so many others, when it comes to CPS, no story is too horrifying or too implausible to be real. Kara Witkowski joins us now. Kara, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me on again. I'm a little emotional because of that video. You know, just hearing her say that in person was horrible. And then watching her know how to do that. And she's known how to choke herself since March of 2022. That was the first time she ever showed me that behavior. She was just talking about school. And all of a sudden, she took her hand and she started choking herself. And I was in so much shock that I didn't even know what to do. She took her hand, she had her thumb, and then she had her finger. So she knew exactly what veins to press on to deprive herself of oxygen, which no child knows how to do that. And then she said, like, after obviously I stopped her from choking herself by yelling, she said, "What? I only did it for 1 minute, not 2 minutes. What child knows that it takes 2 minutes to become unconscious?" It's all so very disturbing. The purpose of these videos is not to incite any harassment against Tom or other parties. The purpose is not to intimidate. The purpose is to inform, because I myself would have never thought things like this were possible until they started to happen to me. And I know my son was murdered. There is proof that my son was murdered. And there's a lot of professionals that are also aware that my son was murdered. And still the court continues to create loopholes for my ex. My ex is now claiming that I'm the one who sexually abused Sasha as well as James. He claims that I framed him for murder. Everyone who knows this story knows I hadn't seen the kids for 3 months because they were accusing me of parental alienation. And it was within that 3 months that my son was hospitalized 9 times for repeated prolapse rectums, where his rectum grew to be the size of an orange. It became incarcerated. He was dying from it. It states that in his medical records. And then after his last appointment for prolapse, because even after emergency rectal repair surgery, he still was not fixed. He ended up dying 2 weeks afterwards of a cervical spinal cord injury. My daughter is saying that she's being strangled. She has stated this on camera. She has stated this to myself. She has stated this to my mother. I've seen faint bruising on her neck. My roommate has also seen faint bruising on her neck. And yet nothing is done. The court just put up a custody evaluator. I've already paid $5,000 for this custody evaluator. All my psychological evaluations came back completely normal. Their only defense this entire time has been that I'm crazy. I did MPI testing, which is, that's renowned psychological testing. And everything came back normal. There was not a red flag. There was not an issue with anything.
There's red flags all over, Tom. I'm looking at police reports right here. Everything that you're saying is substantiated after a Freedom of Information Act request. There's incident reports right here. There are narratives and statements. We're going to show all of these at StuPeters.com, as well as, I want to go over this. The report details that the complainant, Kara Witkowski, which is you, was with her child, Sasha Witkowski, when she told Kara that she had been touched inappropriately. Specifically, Sasha was jumping up and down and jamming her finger into her private area. Sasha advised Kara that her father, Thomas, was the offender. They also say that agreements for a forensic interview were going to be completed, which that interview was completed. And it says here, in summary, Sasha advised that her father had sexually assaulted her while on visitation with him at the home that he shares with her grandma and grandpa. Sasha stated, quote, "Daddy was touching me in an inappropriate way." This narrative and the results of this forensic interview go on for quite some time and get even more graphic and more horrific. And they're saying that you abused. Wasn't Tom the guy that had all kinds of child porn on his computer?
Yes, it was a hard drive. And on the hard drive, it was 47 identified images by the National Center for Missing Exploited Children. It was 422 recognized images by the National Center for Missing Exploited Children. And all his pictures and videos on it from college. The material dates back 10 years. So it's from, 10 years ongoing. And then there was 280 kids that the National Center for Missing Exploited Children didn't even know about. All prepubescent children. The state's attorney's office said five of these were child pornography, but they declined charges because they said they could prove possession for 3 years. I have that letter from the state's attorney's office. And I didn't even know that was an Illinois law. Apparently, unless you can prove possession for 3 years, the person gets off. He said that he had given the drive to other people. So in my mind, why would you be giving a hard drive full of child porn to other people and sharing it around? It doesn't make any sense.
You wrote an email to an attorney here, quote, "My mom dropped Sasha off at my house after school. Sasha didn't have the best day, so I asked her if she wanted to talk about it. She told my mom and I how she cried in class and became very upset, then started talking about David, another boy in her class who also has issues. Sasha then grabbed her neck with one hand and started to choke herself in front of me. I was so shocked that I couldn't even say anything. Her face turned dark red. Her eyes got really spacey. I screamed at her to stop why she did that, to ask her why she did that. She stopped, stared at me, and said nothing. Then a couple minutes later said, 'It's okay. I just did it for 1 minute, not 2 minutes.' This was a recount of what you just said here on the program. What has been the response from the court and from your attorney and from law enforcement with these repeated statements of choking? And by the way, your son, James, had cervical spinal damage, which would be indicative of this kind of strangulation as well, didn't he?
Exactly. Yes. That was what was ruled on. His cause of death was a cervical spinal cord injury, and it was from C6 to C7, which is this area of your neck.
The final two C vertebrae in the neck.
No.
And that is directly behind the veins that you're talking about that it takes to choke a person out of consciousness. Why isn't Tom in jail? Why is he not in jail?
I don't know why he's not in jail.
I mean, just look, he got child porn all over a hard drive of his. I mean, you explained this unless you can prove that it's his. I mean, come on. A child died in his custody, in his care. Your child died in his care. There's all kinds of evidence. You have an independent forensic autopsy that suggests that James was murdered.
Yes.
Why is Tom not in jail, Kara?
I don't know. He should be in jail.
Who's investigating this? I mean, have you obviously this Palatine Police Department should have Tom in handcuffs with $1 million bails being set for the murder, suspected murder, alleged murder of a 2-year-old boy, sodomy, rape, sexual abuse. Your daughter has given repeated statements to therapists, to the police, to her mom, to her grandma. What do you do now at this point?
I just keep collecting documentation. I keep doing everything the courts told me to do. I've spent over $5,000 on this custody evaluator. I was told that the custody evaluator is supposed to determine full custody. It's been already 4 months and not much has happened. He hasn't even paid his full retainer. He only paid $4,000 of the $5,000. He hasn't done one interview. He hasn't done one psychological evaluation. He hasn't done... it's like a parent-child interview as well. He hasn't done that. So I continue to do everything. I continue to shell out all this money. He hasn't paid the guardian ad litem. So the guardian ad litem is actually going for fees for our next court date. There's also like falsification of allegations from him where he put forth a petition against myself saying that I was sexually abusing Sasha. And that petition had... this like completely different allegations on it than the petition that his attorney actually filed. So he filed a pro se petition and then his attorney filed a regular petition and the allegations differed, but were pretty much the same, but different wording, different phrasing, different everything. So it obviously was false allegations. And I brought this up to my attorney, brought this up to the court, and it just went away.
I've only got a couple minutes left here, and I think it's really important that we address this. By the way, this is the Palatine Police Department. Their number, 847-359-9000. This was entered by Michael Tully, okay? And this is also going to be, you'll find it at StuPeters.com, but listen to this. Sasha stated, quote, "Daddy was touching me in an inappropriate way. Sasha shares with her grandma and grandpa. Sasha stated, Daddy was touching me in an inappropriate way. Daddy Sasha stood up and pointed to her buttocks, indicating that her father put his finger in her anus. Sasha further advised that, quote, he put something in very deep. And this had happened many times." And it goes on from there.
There is no telling how many times Sasha was sexually abused. She has been making allegations since even before her brother died. Honestly, I thought she was going to be the one to pass away other than my son. My son didn't even show signs up until all those prolapse rectums, but she has been disclosing for the past 3.5 years of sexual abuse.
I just want to say this one more time. It was entered by Michael Tully from the Palatine Police Department, 847-359-9000. Kara Witkowski, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. We'll be fighting alongside of you the entire way.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I know you do. It's our pleasure. I want to tell you about our great friends over at Gold Co. Take this number down, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. You're going to get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account when you call Gold Co., 855-706-GOLD. Gold Co. is helping thousands of Americans to protect themselves against the theft that's being perpetuated by this global corporate government crime syndicate. Covering for the pedophilia cabal in Ukraine, covering up bioweapons labs, getting involved with the military-industrial complex in Ukraine, tax hikes, hyperinflation, the full-blown recession. Protect yourself. Everything that you've worked hard to earn and even harder to save is at risk. If you have 50 grand or more in your IRA, your 401k, your savings account, they're going to come and snatch it. Get physical gold and silver from Gold Co. Call them today, 855-706-GOLD, 855-706-GOLD. Claim your up to $10,000 or more in free silver when you call 855-706-GOLD. Well, 2 weeks ago, we spoke to Matt Taylor on this program, and it was a huge hit. Matt, you might remember, is our good friend who's living the smart life down in South America, in Ecuador. Matt is the supremely talented electrical engineer with 2 master's degrees who got out of this country while the getting was good and started his own organic farm in Ecuador. His farm has its own water source and off-the-grid electricity. It has no cell phones, thank God. It needs no fossil fuels. Matt is as independent as you can possibly be in this day and age. But in his spare time, Matt has been working as an amateur researcher into COVID-19 and the bioweapon clot shots, falsely referred to as safe and effective vaccines. Well, today Matt says that he has some new findings, and they're horrific. We're about to show you exclusive images momentarily. It all started when he put a drop of COVID vaccine onto his microscope slide. He then put the slide onto his internet router. He made observations of it at 90-minute intervals, and as he did so, he observed rectangular circuit-like shapes begin to self-assemble. And remember, Matt is an electrical engineer, so he absolutely knows what a circuit looks like. Well, when Matt returned and turned the router off, these unusual shapes immediately began to break apart. Matt says that he did this same experiment three separate times with the same result every time. Obviously, we wanted to learn more about that, and so to that end, Matt Taylor joins us now. So Matt, this is pretty horrifying. Self-assembling rectangular-type circuits, and then they break apart after being removed from the internet. What do you suppose all of this means?
I think what this means is that there's a direct connection between frequency technology and these so-called vaccines that I call clot shots.
No surprise to us.
I'm trying very hard not to have preconceived notions about all this stuff. But I live in a unique environment and I have a unique set of tools and it's happening. So I don't, my fundamental message is to not have fear, and I don't want to instill fear in everyone, but I think this is big. And I think it's potentially big, and I'm begging people to please reproduce this science or this investigation or whatever. I started out looking at people's blood to see if there's graphene or some kind of synthetic material in it. And then I thought, all right, I'm gonna go on another show tomorrow, and I wanted to get some more pictures associated with this. And so I started to play with the vaccine again on the microscope, and it wouldn't assemble again. And I was panicked because I thought, oh my gosh, I just showed this on the Stu Peters show and now it's not doing it again. So I said, maybe the 4G technology has something to do with it. And it was instantaneous. These things started to form all over the place. I repeated it 3.5 times and it kept happening. And that's the scary part. The interesting part and the hopeful part, and this is what I really want to get across, is that the absence of that same frequency technology made these things disappear. In a matter of minutes, they completely disassembled and went back into the solution that they came from. And I think that's extraordinarily exciting news.
Okay, so we're gonna go through these images. Tell us what we're looking at here.
The first three images are just of a blood of a neighbor that to me distinctly show graphene or some other synthetic material in their blood. And the reason I'm showing this is kind of the lead-in from the last portion of the show on August 3rd that we did. The next set of images are just far away, a little bit closer, and really close images of the forms that actually composed themselves over this period of time. And my first test, I did 6 hours, and subsequent ones were shorter. These look like integrated circuits to me. And I've asked doctors, I've asked nurses, other microscopists who are kind of in the area, and they don't know what these are. And so that's a huge clue for me.
Okay, so I want to say something here for clarification purposes. Matt, you are not a medical researcher. You are not a microscopy expert. You said on this program the last time you were here that it was actually your lack of expertise or experience that makes you the most qualified to speak on this, but you are an electrical engineer, and you know what a circuit looks like. These medical researchers and microscopy experts don't know what a circuit looks like, and so they are not qualified to say that is a circuit. However, you are. So with all of that combined, I just want people to understand why you're here on this program opining on this, and it's because you certainly saw what you saw, and your request here is that other people do the research the same way to duplicate this, and then basically prove you wrong, essentially, which is what science is supposed to be, I think, isn't it? Science is supposed to be, I have a theory, you have a different one, you prove me wrong. Isn't that what that is? And we're going to try to get through this with the excited dogs in the background. For those of you listening, Matt is on his farm and he's got dogs. It is what it is. He's a real people.
I can go yell at him if you want me to.
No, it's okay. Let's just continue. So take us now through the rest of this. So we're looking at the second one here now with these perfectly rectangular circuits.
To back up your point, no, I'm not a microscopist, and no, I'm not a biologist or a doctor, but all modesty aside, I'm a hell of an electrical engineer.
Okay.
So I understand the frequency thing and I understand the chip thing. The other images show the very slow degradation of these things in the absence of frequency technology. And again, I did that three different times and they disappear down to nothing. The vax itself stays relatively fluid through all of this. It doesn't dry, it doesn't harden or anything like that. So you can see all these reassemblies. And that's the long and short of it. And the most important thing to me are the implications of this. And I think I'm begging for other people to take a look at this research. And the buzz phrases that you hear all the time, like follow the science, it's so offensive because that is the one thing that science tells you not to do. You don't follow anything. You don't believe anything. You question everything. And so that I am completely open, complete ego bypass, beat this up. And if there's something fundamental in my methods or my equipment that is wrong, we need to know that. But if somebody can repeat this, the implications are so incredibly wonderful. It has, we can start to explain clots. We can start to explain detox processes. We can actually have the mature conversation about the involvement of frequency technology in the dissemination of this weapon.
And so you're talking specifically about things like internet routers, 5G and 4G towers that are put up all over the place, people's smartphones and tablets and MacBooks and all of these types of things, anything basically that communicates to another thing without being attached by a thing physically is communicating with something, and it's using the 4G and 5G and frequencies in order to do that communication, which is all passing through you. The people who are behind this know that, they realize that. And so they know that the only way to guarantee mass infestation is by using something that the masses use, which is technology, particularly wireless or frequency-based technology. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And there's legitimate freak out about the 5G technology that's coming in. I think it's lethal and it's untested and it's irresponsible and reckless. But what if the 4G technology, it's been here all the time. It's like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. What if the key of this binary weapon is actually we're immersed in it? What if? And so I think that's a what if that needs some serious inquiry. But I don't see differently than that. I don't.
Yeah, and I would agree with you 100%. This needs to be taken seriously and looked into. And the way that you do this for everybody viewing and listening, whether you're listening on one of our 1600 radio stations or you're watching on DirecTV or Dish Network or on Rumble or at StuPeters.com, wherever you are, we are a massive audience. And the way to put the pressure on is to share this everywhere. If you have a TikTok account, these images need to be seen by everybody. I mean, prove Matt Taylor wrong. Prove yes. That this is not self-assembling circuitry, and tell us what it actually is. If you're a Pfizer or a Moderna rep or a Johnson & Johnson rep, tell us what these things actually are. I have a real quick question here, Matt. Sure. You're an electrical engineer. You understand this. If you were to take circuitry like this and store it at extremely cold temperatures, would it affect the way that they assemble on their own? Could that be why these are stored at such frigid temperatures?
I don't know, but my tendency is to think, number one, I'm sure that they were shielded in some kind of metal to keep this thing from happening, to shield it from any kind of frequencies whatsoever. And the cold, I don't know. Maybe it's just so the kimono doesn't split open. I don't know that, but it's a ridiculously cold temperature, and I think they were just trying to not reveal what was actually contained in the vials.
Yeah, challenge YouTube, challenge Facebook, challenge Twitter, challenge TikTok, challenge all of these people and post these images everywhere. They're not fake. They are real images. They can't dispute whether or not they're fake. Just don't make any claims. Just ask scientists and researchers, hey, what the hell is this that we just found in these so-called vaccine vials? What is this? Can anybody explain this? And I think that's where we need to start, because your suspicions and your evidence confirm my suspicions and the suspicions widely of this viewing audience. Matt Taylor, go pet those dogs. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. God bless you.
Thanks, Stu.
For the first time in a millennia, a famine of biblical proportion is hitting the earth, and it's by design. War has created scarcity. Fertilizer production has been wiped out.
The price of fertilizer is up 128%.
Food processing plants are exploding. Herds of cows are being massacred and buried.
This is a very abnormal event.
The Great Reset demons have created the crisis, but a generation of great resistors following King Jesus have the solution.
HeavensHarvest.com. Get there right now.
Prepare for the worst by trusting the best. HeavensHarvest.com has a delicious plan to conquer starvation. It's real food, high quality, tastes great.
It's actually really good.
Trust Heaven's Harvest today. Order food for the year and a bucket of heirloom seeds. Affordable, available, ready for the fight ahead. HeavensHarvest.com.
Everything that the world has told you is completely upside down, especially when it comes to your health. People avoid chocolate because they think they're going to get fat, or they're going to get acne or oily skin, or it's bad for your health. No. EarthEchoFoods.com. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com right now and enjoy rich, decadent, and creamy chocolate with all of the health benefits that are provided by originating with organic cocoa beans, naturally kissed by the sun. They add turmeric and MCT oil and sea salt and cracked pepper. It is perfect. It's good for your health. Actually reduces inflammation. Makes you feel the best that you've ever felt. Plus, it tastes unbelievably great. EarthEchoFoods.com right now. Go to EarthEchoFoods.com. So if you go to the website of a so-called news outlet, and I use the term lightly, or if you go to the website of a health department, also used lightly, you might think that this monkeypox thing is some huge crisis. There's actually a website, global.health, which has a map of the worldwide monkeypox outbreak with a bunch of countries, including this one, in dark blue colors representing major outbreaks. But here's the truth. Monkeypox is a complete fake sham. Just like COVID-19. Monkeypox is COVID 2.0. I'm not making it up. Look at even the fake official numbers. Even the worst countries have only a few thousand cases. And that's nationwide. In the United States, there have been zero monkeypox deaths. And that's the case in almost every other country, too. Here's the truth about monkeypox. Yes, it is unpleasant, and it's painful, and it's embarrassing to have, but it is not a deadly pandemic. Here's another truth. The things that you have to do to get monkeypox are actually far more horrifying than the disease itself. In about one-fifth of monkeypox cases, the person testing positive had 10 or more sex partners in just the past 3 weeks. In The Lancet, an actual medical journal, scientists have logged the first case of human-to-dog transmission of monkeypox. Yes, the disease appeared on the anus of a dog owned by, you guessed it, two gay men. In other words, one of those men, or one of their many partners, raped that dog and gave it monkeypox. This is a disease for promiscuous gay men. They're men going to piss orgies and piggy parties. They're men who've already ravaged their immune system with one disease after another. Many of them are HIV positive. Many of them have horrifying parasites that normally are only seen in livestock. That is who's getting sick with this. Along with those who have subjected themselves to the bioweapon shot. So why are they pushing this panic? Well, it's obvious. First, because the health authorities want another disease to enhance their power and force us all back into masks. And second, of course, by lying about this disease and acting like it's a threat to all of us, they hide the truth about gays. That most of them live depraved and disgusting and unhealthy and ungodly lifestyles that cause them to contract and spread loathsome diseases. At this very moment, there are left-wing activists and officials trying to force children back into face masks over this bogus fake epidemic rather than just admitting the truth. That only those who have been injected with the bioweapon clot shot and only gay men and their pets and the children that they molest are going to get this disease. Dr. Jane Ruby joins us now to discuss this in greater detail. Dr. Jane, thank you so much for coming.
Of course, Stu. Look, I have to say, medically speaking, and I could be wrong somewhere down the line, but I don't subscribe to the fact that this is a gay disease. Gays get diseases like everyone else.
You heard the facts that I cited. I'm citing facts. One-fifth
That's fine.
Of all of those That's diagnosed fine. Have been with 10 sex partners in the last 3 weeks. These are people who are spreading disease all over the place.
I don't want people to think that they are safe from whatever bioweapons are going to be dropped. You have to keep your antenna up. You can't just say, well, this is a gay disease, so you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Whether it is or not, you still should worry about it. So I want to start there. I also want to tell people that these numbers are being ginned up, as you said. When you look at this first picture, the continents are, does this look familiar from 2020? The continents are filled with red. But you have to understand, there are just minor numbers. And I have to pull people back to the beginning, Stu. These numbers, these cases, they're based on a PCR. They have the audacity to bring this tool in that is not diagnostic.
That's because it's fake. It's all fake. The PCR test is 97% false positives. Go get a bunch of PCR tests at home and run it under your kitchen sink water.
Well, now let's take a look at New York City. New York City put out daily new cases on their, this is the New York City Health Department. Okay. So I'm not getting this from some obscure, you know, right-wing source. This is from the New York City Health Department website. And this picture of daily new cases, when you look at these graphs, Stu, look at them. They're frightening. They shoot up to the top. But if you really look carefully at it, look at the y-axis. That's your vertical axis in any graph. These are not multiples of anything. These are less than 100. Okay. And this is the y-axis, your horizontal, is your temporal axis. That is what's happening across time. So this is total BS. And here's the other danger, Stu. And I want to make people aware of this because I'm going to go right into it right after your show in my first segment. They are going to rush to get these shots. They are not going to know what they're getting. There are two, Jynneos and ACAM2000. Jynneos was never tested for monkeypox or shingles or anything else. It's only ever been tested for smallpox. But the other one, because Biden is screaming that this is a big emergency in the United States, which is scaring people to get them to go to these centers, and they're getting, because the stockpile is low, they're getting them to use something else that was approved called ACAM2000. And I want people to understand something. This is unprecedented. ACAM2000, this is breaking. You got to pay attention. ACAM2000 is a live smallpox virus. If you look at the package insert on the Sanofi Pasteur website, it already has a black box for myocarditis and pericarditis. Stu, this material is given to people with something called percutaneous injection, which is a double-pronged, it's like a bifurcated needle. It's sick. It is such a specialized route of administration that the average nurse or doctor has no idea how to do it. Not only that, Stu, but they say right in their package insert that for 6 weeks after you get inoculated with ACAM2000, you can infect your family, everyone around you, just by being in the same room with them. Not only are they setting people up for fear of monkeypox, but they're going to create a smallpox pandemic, a real living smallpox pandemic, if people belly up for ACAM2000.
How do we avoid this? I mean, honestly, I incinerate the whole supply and arrest everybody responsible for manufacturing all of these shots.
Yes.
I would love to do that. I would love to. If I were the sitting president of the United States, that's what I would do. Along with abolishing the IRS, the FBI, the DEA, and every other three-letter agency, including the CDC and the FDA, a lot of those people would be going to jail, or worse, actually,
yes.
Because that's what they deserve.
Yes.
But how do we stop this? We're a lot harder to find than Hannity. He pushed the last shot. He's going to be pushing this one, too. People
sure.
All over major broadcast and cable news networks are going to be pushing this. So I guess the only thing that we can do is ask people to share this information. They are going to intentionally fake a pandemic so that they can intentionally usher in a real one that
exactly.
will actually hurt people, including children. And in the meantime,
and
they're
babies.
Forcing
yeah.
kids to wear face masks as a result of something that is fake. That the media is ginning up, just like they ginned up COVID-19, which was fake, a man-made, chimerically engineered bioweapon intentionally released from a bioweapons lab in Wuhan, China. It was fake, just like the fake war that's happening in Ukraine, just like the fake reasons for the war, just like the fake actual events of the war, just like the fake shots,
yep.
just like the fake elections. Everything is fake. I'm telling you, everything is fake. People have to understand we're watching a huge movie right now, and we are the test subjects.
Stu, masks aren't going to do anything for monkeypox, smallpox, shingles.
They know that.
It doesn't. that doesn't do anything except make you, probably make you sick in general from rebreathing your own filthy exhaust.
Okay, so what is this live smallpox the bioweapon called again?
It's called ACAM2000. It is right on the package insert, Stu. It says smallpox vaccinia, which by definition, but they do put a comma and write vaccine live, not live attenuated. Some viral, you know, vaccines, Stu, can be live, but they're attenuated, which means they can't replicate themselves. So they're really kind of innocuous.
No, but if they're actually warning that you can infect your friends and your family and your loved ones with smallpox after getting this thing, it's the same thing as these COVID-19 shots. They are self-spreading. Stu, contagious shots, bioweapons.
It takes 15 jabs with this bifurcated needle. It's so complex. And then you have to watch the area and you have to protect the area for 6 weeks, because if anybody bumps up against it, they describe it all in the package insert. They can get infected. Imagine going home with these 15 jab points and you've got to protect it. How well are people going to do that? How are children going to do that? This, Stu, you asked what to do. I'm begging people to pay attention to this and don't comply. Don't go running off to get this. Everything that's been accomplished so far by these psychopaths is because you've complied. So it's, they can,
we don't even know how these people are affecting us with the shedding that's already happening from the first weapon of biowarfare that they released in these COVID-19 clot shots. We don't know if we're getting the spike protein. We don't know what's happening. We do know that everybody is symptomatic. They're having menstruation problems. They're having headaches. They're having fatigue. They're developing all kinds of different rashes. And now these people are going to be infected. If you thought you had to be careful about being in places where people are inoculated already, imagine now you're at risk of just getting the smallpox by going on a bus or a train or being in the airport or on a plane with other people. Or in a coffee shop, or what else? I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. Dr. Jane will go into all of this in great detail on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show immediately following this program. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
You bet, Stu. Thank you.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin Boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them, I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. And they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Resist. Go to vaccine-police.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccine-police.com.
So on Friday, we talked about a real global pandemic. Depression and stress and anxiety. Young people committing suicide. Alcoholism, drugs, getting addicted to prescription pills, all because of a significant mental health decline. People are more stressed out, have more anxiety, more depression, more sleepless nights, more low mood, specifically in young and healthy people. We talked about athletes collapsing and dropping dead, previously perfectly healthy at the peak of their physical condition. And we talked about the miracle mineral that can help alleviate all of that, magnesium. I'm telling you, it is a lifesaver. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Seriously. Magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters for magnesium breakthrough. The 7 most important types and the exact appropriate amounts of magnesium in one capsule. Magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. When you go there, if you use Stu Peters 10 at checkout, you'll get a 10% discount plus free shipping when you go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Welcome back. So we've been having regular check-ins with James Roguski to stay on top of the World Health Organization's pandemic treaty. That's the WHO's bid to overthrow national governments with a new world government using the justification of pandemic preparedness. Well, James wanted to come on today with a new warning. While a WHO treaty is moving forward, he says that there are also 2 parallel threats that people don't know about and which also threaten to replace our national laws and our own constitution with new international health regulations. You can find all of that information at stopthewho.com. And James joins us now. James, thank you so much for coming. What are these new threats?
Oh, you know, it's the same thing all over again. Everybody keeps using the word shenanigans, but I think it's actually shenanigans, because part of what they're doing is the same thing that they did back in April and May. There is a track of negotiations that are going on very, very, very much in secret to craft amendments to the international health regulations. We talked about that, and we stopped the Biden administration from doing that back in May. The second track is something that people have been talking about for 20, 21 months now, going all the way back to November 2020. The WHO refers to it as a convention agreement or international instrument. Most people say pandemic treaty. And that only actually became real and tangible on July 13th, when the WHO actually really did publish their first working draft. Now, there's a parallel path with a different set of organizations in the WHO, the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body, and they're having negotiations about a treaty. Now, both of these things are going on in parallel, and in the various meetings that they've been having in secret, they've directed all of the delegates, not just from the United States, but 194 member nations, to submit proposed language for the treaty by September 15th. They're supposed to submit language for the amendments to the international health regulations by September 30th. Now, all negotiations for international legally binding, you know, international agreements or treaties have to go through the Secretary of State's office, but there are a bunch of bureaucrats in the Health and Human Services Department who are taking it upon themselves to perform these negotiations. I have a call out for everyone, your audience and everyone in the country, to reach out to their congressional representatives and senators to say, hey, are you being advised on this? Because, you know, they're supposed to be being advised on these negotiations that are going on in secret. My guess is that there's not a congressperson or senator in the country who has a clue that this is even happening.
So how do you know that this is happening, James?
I read really boring documents and come and give my phone number out on Stu Peters so people can talk to me about it. And it's all there in terms of, you know, they say that this is what they are doing, but they were supposed to have, the WHO was supposed to live stream and record all this week-long meeting that they had back in July. They did that for half of the meetings. They went dark and you know, hid the remaining meetings. So we know that these negotiations are going on, but we certainly don't know what the documents are that are passing back and forth. We've got a lot of FOIA requests that need to go out, but that's slow and they always deny it, right? But more importantly, we've got an election season going on, and there are candidates who need to speak out, you know, about this. If they're seeking office, they need to talk about this. But more importantly, the representatives and senators in office, I honestly believe they're all being kept in the dark. Maybe they do know about it. I want to know what they know. And you know, I'm calling on everybody to, you know, alert your neighbor, alert your friends, alert the media. But by all means, alert your congressperson and senator that these negotiations are supposed to be consulted on these things. And I certainly don't believe that that's happening.
Yeah. You call it election season. I call it selection season. Elections are fake and we live in an occupied nation. But the one thing is right here is that the mainstream press has no choice but to give a spotlight to candidates. And so what they can do is speak out now when they're doing their Fox News hits and their hits on Newsmax and OAN and other lying organizations. They can use that opportunity to seize upon the attention and shine the light on the fact that this is going on to the people who are sitting at their dining room tables and have no idea that any of this is going on.
You're either with the people and defending our national sovereignty and our personal freedoms, or you're for what they're doing, which is handing all of that over to the dictator general of the WHO, who has already shown, you know, that he just does whatever the heck he wants to do. Are we headed for worldwide health dictatorship? You know, we may already be there, but the WHO doesn't have the legal powers that they are that they would love to have, and that's why they're trying to negotiate these amendments and these pandemic treaty, which would clearly, in their own words, be a legally binding instrument that would put the WHO in charge of pandemic response.
Okay, and so when
now's the time. Now's the time to act.
Originally, when you came on the program, we started talking about this pandemic treaty. You weren't even sure that that was going to happen. We're now convinced that this is actually going to happen. They're moving through and they're moving forward with this. And now, what specifically are these two new threats? What overall is going to happen to free countries or once free countries like America and the rest of the West if this thing goes through with no checks and balances?
To clarify, what we were talking about back in April and May was one of the two tracks. They're not two new tracks. They've been the whole time, and almost everybody got them confused. One of the tracks are amendments to existing regulations, and the other track is creating a whole brand new pandemic treaty, essentially to give complete and total control over health issues to the WHO. And so people have gotten the two tracks mixed up, and they are very related, but they've been on these parallel tracks. And what they do is they focus on one when the action is on the other. So back in April and May, everybody was talking about the pandemic treaty, which had not been drafted when the amendments were being pushed through. Now we're dealing with secret negotiations on both of these. And I'm just trying to shed light on it and inviting people to give me a call, 310-619-3055. Go to stopthewho.com. And we need everyone to reach out to their congresspeople, to candidates who are trying to get into Congress. It's just sounding the alarm and raising awareness. And Stu, I thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to do that.
How detrimental is this, though, James? I mean, if this stuff goes through, what can citizens of the United States of America expect to happen in their daily lives?
I'm not a doom and gloomer, okay? I trust that this is not going to happen. What it seeks to do is give complete control over one health, you know, basically one world government in charge of by the WHO over health related issues. So if you think it's bad now, when the WHO just has an advisory and you know, they can make recommendations, they want their recommendations to be crafted into legally binding international agreements that would give them actual legal authority. They don't
so, for example, if the WHO said you're going to take this injection, you're going to, and if you don't, it becomes a criminal offense. If they say that you're going to wear this mask and you don't, it becomes a criminal offense. This is the type of thing that you're talking about.
This is what they're trying to do in New York State. This is what I pointed out that they're trying to do in South Africa. They're doing it in
But they seek to do it worldwide. They seek to have this be a blanketed thing across the whole planet. For bringing this to everybody's attention and all of your hard work and reading the boring documents and bringing this to light, we really appreciate it. You can call James Roguski. I'm going to give the number out reluctantly here. I don't know, people doxing themselves on a national broadcast, but 310-619-3055, and also visit stopthewho.com. James Roguski, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Your viewers are the best, and the people who've called me are just the salt of the earth. So, you know, this is complicated. Please, you know, take action now, because sleep when this is happening, and it's going to get much worse before it gets better unless we stop it now.
I agree. And how do you stop it? By bringing it to light. People don't know that this is even going on. The court of public opinion is the most powerful court in the world. We are the majority. We rise up to stop things like this. Ask your neighbor if they know about this. What about the people that you go to church with? Do they know about this? Does your congressperson know about this? Does your senator know about this? You know, the representatives of the people. And you're right, James. They are the salt of the earth. This audience is the most powerful audience in media, period. A family. I love you guys. And we need you to be strong all over the place, including in your mind, which is why we've been telling you about these nootropics brain supplements from nootopia.com/Stu Peters. They're non-addictive, 100% safe, and they will put you on your A game from the minute that you wake up. The light switch, the on switch for your brain exists in these brain supplements. Go to nootopia.com/Stu Peters. There's one for everybody. If you need additional focus, additional drive, clarity, or creativity to be a better mom, to be a better boss, to be a better homeschooler, to be a better coworker, to be a better employee, to be a better athlete, aggression on demand for when you're going to go work out at the gym. You'll learn a lot about yourself when you go to nootopia.com/Stu Peters and you fill out the personal questionnaire about how you process information, how you think on a daily basis. Wake up right away and be ready to process information. No more snooze button, no more shot of caffeine or cup of coffee is required. Optional though, because I like coffee as well. But replace all of that, the need for alcohol, the want, the desire for alcohol, that state of relaxation that you get put in with alcohol in the evening time can be replaced with the Gabalicious formula from Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. Make sure that you tell them that Stu Peters sent you when you go to Newtopia.com/Stu Peters. So how are you going to handle this full-blown recession, and do you even know where you're investing? For that, the Money Minute is now with Carlos Cortez from Cortez Wealth Management. Carlos, values, that is the topic of today's Money Minute.
Yes, values. I mean, we're having a recent bull run in the market, and a lot of clients are forgetting where they're really investing in. We don't even understand where their investments are at, and they're investing in Pfizer and all these Luciferian agendas, and they don't even realize it. So tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. on AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com, we're really going to hone in on having America First process with your investments.
Nothing could be more important than investing with your values. Go now, CortezWM.com. Book your personal appointment with this guy or visit AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way that you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. Maybe be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!